Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to today's Word of Mom Radio. I'm Dori DiCarlo, and you know that we're here week after week breaking those myths that mompreneurs just dabble in business in between bake sales and getting their nails done. And you know I love my Tuesdays because we're in our Tuesday business spotlight, and today we are here with Janice Clark and social media Help Not Hype. And in keeping with the Halloween theme of this week, Janice is back with some more social media horror stories. And I'm really excited to hear what she has to share with the different horror stories that we all can face in social media. So, Janice, hey, welcome to the show.
Hey, Dori, thanks so much. I am thrilled to be back with our second edition of Halloween Horror Stories, Tales from Beyond. I love Halloween. It's just one of my favorite seasons, and especially now that I have a little girl, we have so much fun with it, and we've got this whole house decorated, and there's lots and lots of fun things going on right now, but what isn't fun are some of the horror stories that we unfortunately have to face with clients. The clients are the ones who have to face them. You know, we step in to help when we can. Sometimes we can and sometimes we can't, but it's really the clients that have to face them. So what I wanted to do is if you haven't had the opportunity to read any of my Halloween blog posts, I really encourage you to do that. I've got several out, all very much evergreen content from last year, this year. The first one I had written was, "This blog post is haunted." And it was talking about, and keep in mind, these are all real stories. These are actual happenings. The names have been changed to protect the innocent and the guilty. because unfortunately, in many instances, I actually know the other social media, I say that loosely, person who got the client into trouble. So all names have been changed to protect the innocent and the guilty. But these were all real stories. These all actually happened. This blog post is haunted focused on some issues that I've had several clients have. I kind of compiled this one into one with hiring someone to do blog posts for them. And I hear all the time, you need content. Content is king. And this is something that we all face. Social media, there's a lot of pressure to get out there and participate and create content and create blog posts and all these things. And there's a lot of pressure out there, and you'll see a lot of recommendations to use PLR content, private label rights content, great stuff. I mean, I'm not recommending it, but you just have to be careful. Lots of writers out there who, either in the country or overseas, who are willing to write blog posts for you. Lots of websites, some very, very good, with writers who will write blog posts for you very inexpensively. But you have to be careful, In some of the instances, a few things that we've seen happen is that clients will use private label rights content. And I don't know if you're familiar with that, Dori. You can purchase an article that somebody else has written, and they agree to sell the article to 10 people. Now, what you're supposed to, or 20 or 200, it depends on, of course, what you're buying and how much it is. What you're supposed to do is take this and kind of rewrite it and make it your own. But we have had encountered people who didn't do that. They took the content and published the content. It looked good. They published it and didn't take into consideration that, 10 other people or 200 other people had this same piece of content. And if they did the same thing, then what Google is going to see is a lot of duplicate content going out of there. It's going to look like a lot of plagiarized content, and it's going to affect not only your reputation, it's going to affect your website rankings. It's going to look very, very bad if somebody else reads an article you're claiming is your own, and they've also read an article by somebody, that same article by somebody else claiming it is their own. A lot of problems that you can encounter there. It doesn't look good, and we have encountered this. It's caused a lot of problems. Another issue is getting a writer who may have some fine print in their contract saying that they can resell the same article after a year. So you could pay potentially hundreds of dollars for an article that you think belongs to you, only when you go back and read the fine print, this author says after a year they can resell this same piece of content to somebody else, which could also mean that last year they sold the same piece of content to somebody else, and now you're paying for duplicate content. Again, it looks very bad. Your reputation, your SEO, and online these days, your reputation is everything. Your rankings are everything. These are just a couple of issues that can happen. Another issue, and this is just specifically with writing content. You know, Dori, I see way more stories than I could ever share, unfortunately. I've seen in particular a lady, a client of ours, had prior to coming to us, she had hired someone to write blog posts and articles for her, and they did a great job. They were writing customized things just for her, doing a wonderful job. And so she started letting them put the content up on her website, and, you know, over time, she kind of stopped checking. She kind of just, you know, they were doing such a good job that when they were really writing some good stuff. And you know, she monitored for a while and then just kind of got busy and left it. And what happened is, over time, this lady started outsourcing what she was writing to somebody else, and their content was nowhere near as good. And this particular client was paying to have, you know, 3-5 blog posts a week going out on her behalf. And so by the time she came to us and I started evaluating her site, I said, you know, gosh, I don't know how to say this because this is it's a sensitive subject when you start talking about somebody else's writing. And I didn't know if she was writing the content or what was happening at the time. I said, your content all sounds just exactly alike. One blog post after another, you know, it's just not good. It's just not, you know. And so she went back and started looking, and she said, oh, my gosh, what's happened here? And this lady, they were literally just, they had written so much content for her at that point, they were going back to her old content and kind of re-spinning it, maybe changing a word or two there and republishing. And it was happening over and over and over and over again. There were spelling errors, there were grammatical errors, and all these things going out on her behalf like she was the one doing them. It affected severely her website rankings. It affected, you know, her traffic. You know, people just weren't. She was getting at one time, she was getting 10,000 visitors a day to her website, and it had dropped back to something like 1,500. People didn't want to keep coming back reading the same thing over and over and over again. So, you really just have to be so, so careful. So, this is what this blog post had focused on in particular, was just writing content and making sure you're getting some good stuff going out. I was going to share with you just a few of these horror stories, and then I'm going to share with you some signs, some things I see just in general online, among people I know, among people I network with, in forums and, you know, networking groups I belong to, some things I see that are really signs that you're headed in this direction. Some of these clients, by their own personal social media horror stories, that it's taken them years to recover, if ever. Some of them haven't fully recovered what they once had. So I'm going to share with you some signs here in just a few minutes that you may be headed down this path, because it's something that, unfortunately, I see many of these things in the mompreneur market, and it's not something I enjoy seeing, but I'm not the internet police, so. I don't normally go around telling people what they're doing. I save that here for the radio show, and I know we've got a good, strong audience, and I know people are listening. I get lots of great feedback on the show. So another post I had written was Bubble Bubble Toil and Trouble. I've got several out here. I've gotten a lot of great feedback on all these. You know, I just love this stuff. I just love the Halloween stuff. You know, some of the things that I see are people hiring someone. You know, you need to hire somebody very often to get some help, to determine a strategy, to help you navigate all the technical stuff. There's so much involved, the apps involved, the sites, the statistics, the latest trends, and lots of people are going out and hiring someone to help them. But if you don't look into that person and understand what they can really do for you, then you could end up spending an awfully lot of money and not seeing anything for your efforts. One thing we commonly see that I've illustrated in this post are people hiring social media people who really, they can't do the job for themselves and they can't do it for the clients either. they hire someone who, in the past, Facebook has required you to use a third-party app for their contests. Now, that's not the case any longer, but it was that way for a very long time. And we've had clients who hired people who were running illegal Facebook contests. Their pages got shut down because they were promising people things that they just couldn't promise them. We've seen, accounts being linked in so many different directions that posts were actually being duplicated 2, 3, 4 times on the same site because their social media person was using so many different tools that even they couldn't keep track of what was going out where. That's a very, very common one. Very often we think that more is better, bigger is better. So people will go out and they will either do this themselves or hire somebody who does it. They will sign themselves up for so many social accounts that they just they can't stay on top of them all. And then it requires tools to monitor them and post across all of them. And unless you have a lot of money, one tool won't do it. You need 3, 4, 5, 10 tools. And you start getting things set up across all of these sites. And suddenly you've got duplicate messages coming in. You've got duplicate posts going out. You just, in general, look bad. One lady I remember in particular had, she had a Twitter account and a Facebook page, and that's all she had. And she was doing well. She was handling hers on her own. And her business was growing, and her accounts were growing, and she was doing, this is really kind of sad, she was doing really well. She had a really engaged audience and decided it was time for her to hire some help. And she hired this person who convinced her that she needed, 10 more sites, had to be doing a lot more stuff, and that they would handle it all for her. And they started hooking her up to all these tools and all these different pieces of the software. And now, instead of putting out nice, thoughtful, engaging posts periodically, she had just links going out here and there. No commentary with them, nothing to say what they were, just, her Twitter feed was full of instead of the 2 posts a day she had been making on her own, good posts, excellent posts, suddenly there were 20 posts that were nothing but a link. Facebook the same, all these other sites the same. Nobody was answering clients when they asked questions. Nobody was commenting back. It did turn into a kind of a nightmare for her because she lost, once people go, they have a hard time coming back.
Right.
Once they think that you're not interested any longer, you're not listening to them, you're not paying attention, they tend to go away. And she is still working on, and because this went on for a long time. This went on for a very long time. She handed everything over and then got busy building her growing business until it stopped growing because in part because she had lost a huge social presence. She had lost a lot of followers on her Facebook page. She had lost people following her on Twitter. The other sites that this person got her involved with really never did take off. And she hired the wrong person and then didn't monitor, didn't pay attention to what they were doing, didn't ask questions. And I'd asked her, why, was she looking at the accounts? Did she see the change? And she said she did. And, she wanted to ask, but she kind of felt a little silly. She felt like maybe she should have known. And then she let it go on for a while, and then she felt bad for not asking earlier. So she didn't want to insult this person by asking questions and making them think that she didn't trust them. So it went on for a while, and it really did some damage to her before she finally got rid of this person. Bad stuff. Ask questions. Monitor. This is your reputation. This is your website traffic. Nobody else has to live with this. I said early on in our call, unfortunately, it's the clients who have to live with it. We step in and help when we can, but it's the clients who really have to live with it.
You've talked about this before in the sense of when you're outsourcing, just because you've outsourced doesn't mean that you don't have to be really aware,
right?
What is going on, no matter who it is.
Exactly. You know, I read a great article this weekend by Bob Berg, and he said, well, I can't remember the name, exact name of the title now, but it was something like you're abdicating instead of delegating. You know, instead of delegating the work out and you know, giving some out and monitoring it, you're just giving up all control, you know, signing over your power of attorney and walking away, basically, from your social sites. And social can be tough, especially if you don't perceive yourself to be a real social person. Lots of our clients, they are social people in face-to-face, but when it comes to the online world, you know, it can get a little tough. You feel like you're talking to yourself sometimes. So I understand the feeling that, gosh, I have somebody to take care of this now, I can walk away, but that's not good for you, and it's not even good for a good social media person. You know, I check in with our clients frequently, and I'll ask questions like, you know, I'll say, just talk to me. I have a little email form I send out. It varies from week to week, but it's something like, you know, how's your week going? How's the weather? How are you feeling? Has it been a big week or has it been a slow week? What's your best-selling item right now? What item would you like to sell the most of this week? You know, what are you working on? Do you have any events coming up? Any social good campaigns or charities you're sponsoring? And I do this to try to pull information from them to help us create those wonderful personalized posts that their audience can really relate to. You know, their audience, if you have a presence online, there are people who really want to hear from you. So you want to make sure you're staying in close contact with your social media person, providing information, asking questions so that you're very well informed about what they're doing. And unfortunately, that's what causes a lot of the problems that that you can read about in some of these blog posts that I've written.
For those of you just tuning in, we're here on Word of Mom Radio, and we're talking about social media horror stories. I mean, you know, I have my own. Last Christmas, after Christmas, when I came back from my time off, I was catching up with everybody on Twitter and actually got blocked for being too social.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that was actually the message that they sent me. It wasn't that I was, you know, you can't tweet more than like 100 tweets an hour or something like that. I mean, I was nowhere near that. But I was just responding to 3 weeks' worth of tweets,
mm-hmm.
going through my account, responding to people, and I had three different Twitter accounts. My Dori DiCarlo, which was my first Twitter account. Then I have Word of Mom_Dori and Word of Mom Radio. They blocked my accounts, and my Dori DiCarlo, I had over 5,000 people that I was following and that were following me. And I mean, you know me, Janice. This is how you and I met. I was very responsive, really social. I just don't go out there and just tweet a bunch of names. I talk to people. I answer questions, this and that. When they blocked that account, it took it down to zero. The other ones, I lost probably half of my followers following. But my Dori DiCarlo account that was, you know, how many years old, went to zero, and they couldn't get anything back.
They were never able to get any of your followers back?
Nope.
Oh, my goodness. That's
so I talk about a horror story. You know, of how many years of work,
mm-hmm.
and networking and everything disappeared.
You know, and this is something that is this is truly the opening for a horror story for a lot of people. There is this feeling, for some reason, in social media today, that the account is yours, and I would like to bust that myth right now.
Right.
When you open a Facebook page, I hear so many people complaining about Facebook, and yes, I have a love-hate relationship with Facebook myself. You know, please understand, I'm not defending Facebook by any means here. But they open a Facebook account, and if anything goes wrong, it's how dare Facebook do this when Facebook makes a change. How dare they make this change? Twitter, when something goes wrong, you know, mainly it's Facebook because there's a lot more to it, but... You know, there's this belief that when you open an account, it belongs to you. And the reality is you're opening a free account on a third-party site. You don't own it. It doesn't belong to you. Anything could happen. And this is one of the reasons why it is so important to have a website. And I have had clients who decided, oh, I don't need a website. Oh, my gosh, we've got all these free options nowadays. Prior, they weren't clients for long here, or they came to us this way, because I don't keep people like this typically. They think, there's so many free options. Gosh, I don't need a website. Why would I pay money every month for something when I can just have it all for free? Well, the problem with having it all for free is it doesn't belong to you. Facebook doesn't belong to you. Twitter doesn't belong to you. If they decide to take your account down for any reason at all, good, bad, or ugly, they will. And you know what, Dory, in your instance, I know what's happened. I know what's happened. They all use algorithms. They all use algorithms to determine accounts that are doing things very badly. And, one of the things we've seen in the past, I will take over a client's account, and their past social media person or the client themselves are basically spamming people. They will tweet out, "Hey, Dory DiCarlo, have you bought a new dog leash recently?" And they'll link to their own website. "Hey, and they'll do this with hundreds and hundreds of people. And, of course, that's spam because you didn't invite them to message you like that. You didn't show any interest in their product. They're just tweeting the same thing over and over and over again. So Twitter has algorithms to determine when somebody is doing something like this they shouldn't. And, unfortunately, these things aren't perfect by a long shot. And it picked up you tweeting out to a lot of different people. Bad, wrong, devastating, definitely a horror story, but we're dealing with third-party platforms that allow us to use them for free. So many things we see like this on a regular basis. Clients very often will create their own horror stories unknowingly. And I wanted to share with you, I shared with you just a few horror stories here today, and maybe they don't seem like much of a horror story, but imagine waking up one morning to find that people don't trust you any longer. Suddenly, you walk out into the world, and people look at you suspiciously. Your word isn't good enough any longer. Suddenly, you walk out into the world, and you're perceived as being unintelligent or uncaring, unfeeling, and that's not you at all. And you start to wonder why. You don't know why people are treating you the way they're treating you. This is what's happening with these people's accounts. When a lot of mistakes are being made, when they hand over their social media presence, when they hand over their voice to somebody else, and they don't stay on top of it, and they don't monitor it, or they don't understand it well enough to stay on top of it, lots of bad things can happen. And suddenly, you are in a position, you're being treated badly, and maybe you're not being treated badly to your face. Maybe they're just talking about you somewhere that you can't see it. People are talking about you. I saw something not too long ago. It said everyone is participating in social media, whether you want to or not. If you've chosen to say, "I'm just not going to do this. I'm gonna stick my head in the sand, and I'm not gonna have anything to do with this stuff." People are still talking about you. It's just you're not around to see it. You're not around to hear it.
Right.
So I wanted to share with you some of the things I see on a regular basis that are leading up to these horror stories. And I'm really hoping to prevent more horror stories. One of the things I like to do with Word of Mom is try to educate you as much as possible and try to keep these absolute horror stories from happening to you. Bad things are going to happen. We all have bad days. We all have, a tweet goes out and there's a misspelling in it, and you go, "Oh, jeez, what was I thinking?" Or you tweet out something on the wrong account, and you cringe at yourself and go, "Oh, my goodness." And everybody understands one time. most people should understand one time. Most people will. It's when it happens all the time that there's a problem. So I wanted to share with you some of the things I see that lead up to these horror stories I've described. And if you want to read more about the horror stories, again, I have on my blog, there's a whole list of Tales from Beyond social media horror stories that you can read. I put out one a week or so ago called There's a Monster at the End of This Blog Post. and I am particularly fond of it. It's gotten some good visibility as well. And I want to before I launch into these 20 signs. Well, I'll be putting another blog post out later on this afternoon called 20 Signs You're About to Get Eaten with Your Social Media Strategy, and I'm going to share some of those signs with you right now. But I wanted to share something that I shared here, and there's a monster at the end of this blog post because I feel it's worth sharing multiple times. And what I share is that there is no one secret or one activity or one tool you can use to make you successful with social media. It's online networking. It's a combination of knowledge, content, conversations, strategy, consistent effort over a long period of time, and basically it's hard work. It's joining networks, creating content, participating, listening, evaluating, taking action, and it's getting up every day knowing your target audience is online and it's up for you to find them, solve their problems, and engage them in a meaningful way that's ultimately going to benefit you both. That is what social media is all about. There are no shortcuts. There are no pills. There are no quick fixes. That's what gets most people into trouble is, things happen, of course, when you're not looking for these things, but the majority of the horror stories I see are because people looked for a quick fix, a pill, a tool, one person who told them, oh, I have just the ticket. I can make you go viral. I can get you, millions and millions of followers. If it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. So think about that. Think about that when you're getting ready to get some assistance with your social media strategy. So here are some of the things I see. And Dori, are we? I know you normally have a commercial break in here somewhere. Are we? Am I running over top of you?
No, we're good. We're good. But you know what? Since you mentioned it, I'll just do the break here. Okay? So for those of you here, we're on Word of Mom Radio, and I want to say hello. In keeping with the Halloween theme, today's sponsor is Angelic Comfort. Excuse me. And Angelic Comfort is a great site, and it offers spiritual information, products, classes, messages, and services to work one-on-one with the fabulous Renee Marie Stilwell, who is here every once in a while on Blog Talk with me. She'll sub-host. She was doing a show on our Word of Mom Radio network, but then has moved over to a brand-new radio station. But I encourage you to go to angelickcomfort.blogspot.com, or you can visit all of our sponsors at wordofmomradio.com/MMM/. So back to you, Janice.
Excellent. Here are some things that I see as people are starting down the path headed towards some of these horror stories. The first one is you think just having a presence is enough on social media. You think if I create the account, if I build it, people will come. And that is not the case at all. You've got to do something with your site. You've got to, fill them in. You've got to make them keyword rich. You've got to put links to your other social sites in them. You've really got to work these accounts. Creating one just isn't enough. So many people, and again, these are things that I see them from everyone, but I have to tell you that I've recently been seeing a lot of these things from mompreneurs, and it's just very concerning. People who will put up accounts and 2 months later, well, I didn't get anything out of it, so obviously this isn't going to work. This has been a tough year for us just personally. In the past few months especially, we've had a lot of illness and we've been doing a lot of running and so lots and lots going on around here, and I have been a little slower to respond than I'd really like to be. So I had gotten a message on my Facebook page about a month ago from another mompreneur, and she said, if she's out there listening today, gosh, please jump right back in and start working your page again. She had sent me a message, and she said, heard you on Word of Mom, loved your show, I just liked your Facebook page, and would love a like back from you. Well, I'm happy to like your pages back. Happy to. Leave me a nice little message. Like my page, leave me a message. I am happy to come right over, and I come like it, and I normally look down through there and see what you have to offer. I love to buy from other mompreneurs, and especially with the holidays coming up, I buy a lot of gifts. from these women. So this person, but it had been about a month ago, and I'm just terribly ashamed to tell you that I had not been able to get back to her. So I was cleaning things up last week, and I saw her message, and I immediately responded back to her and said, "Oh my gosh, I am so sorry. Gosh, so much going on, and I'm just terribly sorry. I have missed your message somehow. But I'm going over to your page right now." And I went to her page, and literally 3 days after she had messaged me, she just stopped posting. So I don't know. Of course, you never know. You never know. You never know what's going on with somebody. But the thing about social media is consistency. So even if you slow down what you normally do, even though things have been slowed down here considerably, you'll still see some posts coming out from me. I may not be as aggressive as I once was. And that's okay. You know, social, it's life. I mean, sometimes you're on it, sometimes you're under it. That's okay. Just be, but you have to participate. You have to play to win. So just having a presence is not enough. You think that your resume makes a good profile. This is not true. I'm going to bust a lot of myths today. This is just not true. Putting up your resume in your Facebook about section, Google Plus about section, it's just not good enough. You know, social is social. You want to engage people. You want to be interesting, and you want to share great keyword-rich information about yourself. Using your dog's photo as your profile photo, because you don't want to show your own face online, is another thing that I see people doing. And not just your dog. It could be your kids. Could be a flower. Could be scenery of some kind. Could be your business location. If it's a personal account, your face needs to be somewhere. You don't have to, my face isn't huge, splashed across all my backgrounds. That's okay. Nobody wants to see my face that large. Little humor here on Halloween. But it needs to be up there. It needs to be up there. And you're probably wondering, okay, well, how are these things leading to horror stories? Well, these are the early days. These are the early days. When you first just throw up an account and you don't put your own face in it and you pop some information in there, if you put anything in there at all that's kind of meaningless or boring or drab, this just starts you down a bad path. This is the beginning. If I can grab you before you do these things, if I can grab you while there's still time to change the problems that could be created later, then I can prevent some real horror stories from happening in the coming year. This is where it starts. If you're going to participate in social, there's some things you have to do, and you have to take this seriously. Having a presence is not enough. It's not good enough to throw your dog's photo up there and say, "I don't want to show my face." Well, if I am looking at a business owner who doesn't want to show their face, I have to wonder what they have to hide.
Right.
Think about it. Just think about what your audience is thinking. Think less about yourself and think more about your audience. Another thing I see on the path to having some of these horror stories are people who jump into social media with no strategy. They don't have any clue what they're supposed to be doing. They just jump in, start posting, no idea what's happening, no idea what to expect, no idea what they should be doing. It can create real problems. You can, tweet out things that you really should not be tweeting out. A client one time, oh gosh, a long time ago, who did this herself. Actually, we've had this happen a couple of times, unfortunately, and so there are varying stories about this happening because it's happened more than once. This client is a lovely person, fun, energetic, kind of mischievous, just found a person you like to sit down to dinner with because she's just a great conversation. And she was in her Twitter account, and she has a lot of varying interests. She's very intelligent and highly articulate. And she saw some rap star tweet out something that was racially derogatory towards themselves. Okay? And she retweeted them. She should not have done this because it got her a lot of negative press.
I bet.
We can say lots of things about ourselves, but her retweeting that, it was just very, very bad. And she got a ton of comments that day, and none of them were positive. None of them were good. And we had to set her down and explain to her that you just can't do that. You can't. You just can't. You can't do that. She just wasn't paying attention. She just wasn't thinking in terms of strategically putting content out there, strategically having conversations. Wasn't a good thing. We've had people who had a virtual assistants did this too. We've had, you know, again, unfortunately, this has happened several times in varying ways. But you've got to be very thoughtful about every word you say out there, every single word. Who are you going to offend? Who is listening? How could somebody else potentially perceive this? Your intentions don't always show through in writing.
Well, you know, it's always interesting to me because, you know, especially people that will put out, you know, I mean, we've talked about this before. You know, it took me a long time, especially on Facebook. I share information, and I'll share tweets and posts and things like that. But, you know, it's like that fine line of how personal you get.
Yes.
And then it was the anniversary of my mom's, at that point, 18th year, gracing heaven with her presence. And wasn't going to say anything, and then I did. And that was the day for me that all of a sudden I realized that these online people that you're talking to, not that they, you know, not that I didn't always know they were real people and everything else, but just how strong those connections are. Because I had put up a post and I probably got back 50 or 60 messages from people that knew me, knew my mom, memories that they shared of us and stuff like that. I got twice as many from people who had never met my mom, didn't know her, but shared a hug, sent a prayer, talked about when they lost their mom or their dad. And that was when I really clued into the fact that people really do read these things. These are real people with real feelings, and I may never be able to sit down and have a cup of coffee with them in person or a cup of tea with them and stuff like that, but it doesn't matter because they are real relationships. These are real connections and the power of that.
You know, I think this is a phenomenal story, and I'd like to use this just as an illustration here for a moment, Dory. Because I spoke with another woman at one time who says to me the exact opposite of what you just said. These people just don't care. These people aren't paying any attention. It's nothing but spam. Everybody's so busy broadcasting. They don't care about anybody else. That's why I just can't get engaged. I can't talk to these people. You notice the word I keep using, these people. Dory comes online, however often she gets online, because the lovely tools allow us to schedule many things we do. But Dory comes online, and she reaches out to people, not these people. She reaches out to people, individuals, and she says hello, and she shares their content, and she wishes them a happy birthday, and she thanks them for the things that they say, and she tells them she appreciates their content. Dory puts a lot of Dory into her strategy. This other lady did the very next thing I was getting ready to tell you about, is she used social media as her own personal broadcasting platform, her own personal sales platform. She got on once every 2 weeks and scheduled out all the posts of her content and her products and all these other things, and never really made any effort to try to learn about the people who made up those numbers in her account. She referred to them as these people. Dory knows these people because they're real people to her. You will get out of your strategy. You will get out of your social media, whatever you put into it. If you put in nothing of yourself, if you put in junk, if you put in no knowledge, no caring, no commitment, that's exactly what you will get back. If you put in an effort to meet a few of those people, just a few, just say hello. Consider that they're real individuals. Pay attention to them as though they were the person next door. Take a moment. A moment is all it takes to say happy birthday. Congratulations on your interview. So glad to hear you're running for mayor. If you put that into it, that's what you're going to get back out. Those people will pay attention to you. and they will pay attention whether you're saying some funny little quote or whether you're saying, oh, my gosh, I'm so excited. Our product is finally ready to go. What you get, what you put in is what you will get out. So you need to stop for just a moment and ask yourself, what am I getting out of this? These horror stories I share, and I could share so many more. I mean, it's endless. You know, it was tough for me to figure out where to even start. And that's why I wanted to just point you to these blog posts where I've written a lot more information about some of the horror stories that that I've seen happening. You know, much of it is because it's all because of what somebody put in, whether it was a social media person, whether it was a client. What are you putting into it? Are you paying attention? Are you listening? Are you watching? Are you asking questions? What are you putting into your strategy? If you put enough of yourself into this, your strategy, a lot of these horror stories you're never even going to come close to. Sometimes, unfortunately, bad things happen to good people. Dory had her own personal little horror story, and she didn't deserve that. We're dealing with a third-party platform, though, so unfortunately, it happened. But the great news is Dory didn't rely just on Twitter for her entire social presence. Another one of the things I see in these 20 signs you're about to get eaten is you think having a Facebook page is all I need. Facebook's where everybody is anyway, so I'm just going to have a Facebook page. That's all I'm going to do. I'm not going to worry about this other stuff. Except what happens when your page gets taken away. You lose everything. Dory has a presence on multiple sites. She's got an email list. Dory has diversified. Dory is doing it correctly. So Dory may have lost those 5,000 followers on Twitter, but her presence isn't just on Twitter. It's everywhere. So she can recoup. She put a lot into her social media presence, and she's going to get a lot and is getting a lot back out of it, including a horror story that, while it's more of an annoyance story, she really didn't lose. I imagine those people, a lot of the people who really love Dory came back looking for her when they stopped seeing her posts.
Well, I was really fortunate, though, again. The fortunate thing is that I didn't have one Twitter account.
Yes.
You know, I had, when we first started Word of Mom, that's when I did Word of Mom _ Dory. And then I was like, you know what, I need to do one just for Word of Mom Radio, period.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was really fortunate in that sense because I had people that were crossing over. So I was able to tweet them and say, hey, this account, you know, I got blocked from Twitter from being too social. I mean, forget the conversations that went on with that one, you know. But I sent, you know, a message to Twitter, and I'm like, okay, here's the reality. I have an internet radio show. It's called Word of Mom Radio. Here are the women who are our sponsors. Here are the women who are our hosts. I tweet about them. They retweet tweets, but my show started because of Twitter. So how in the world? Yeah, exactly. It's like, how in the world can you block me, you know, because I'm tweeting out show tweets and things like that. I mean, it was so bizarre to have happened. But, you know, got my hand slapped on Facebook because I had a bunch of friend requests in 1 week. Because I had gone to a networking event, met a bunch of people. They all wanted to connect with me on Facebook. And I got blocked for 7 days. And, you know, and they ask you, do you know these people outside of Facebook? And I'm like, yes, yes. Five of them were people that I had grown up with that wound up, you know, all going to this event. It was like, oh, my gosh. I'm like, are you people out of your mind? I'm like, really? You know, I mean, so these are the things that just make me laugh, but they're not funny.
Yeah. You have
because
to laugh.
It really
laugh
can.
Or cry, those are your
options. Exactly. But that's the whole thing, and it really can. If that had been my only Twitter account and I lost over 5,000 followers.
Well, imagine if that
hello?
Had been your only social account, because that's happened too.
Exactly. That's
imagine
right.
Imagine if that was the only thing you had. Imagine if you didn't have a website and that was all you had because you decided not to invest money in a website.
Right.
Imagine. This is where the real horror story comes in. This is where the real horror story comes in. Don't get me wrong, Dory, that was bad. I mean, you know, we would have all cried over something like that. But the real horror stories occur when it is permanent damage done to your reputation, to your presence, to the way you do business. suddenly it's just gone. Lots of these little things that you do every day can contribute to a real live horror story happening. And you have to be careful. You really, really do. You have to be careful. You have to understand that, you know, this is, you have to take this seriously. And I can't stress that enough. You've got to take it seriously. This is a way of marketing your business. This is a way, word-of-mouth marketing is how you get out in front of more people. It's how they perceive you. It's how they talk about your business and your brand. And you have just got to be careful.
Well, you know, that's one of the things that we say. You know, one of the things that I say to people all the time, it's like your brand is what they say about you when you're not in the room.
That's right. It's how they feel about you. You know,
and it was interesting. A friend of mine died very suddenly while I was down in Florida and happened to be back up for my son's birthday and Easter, and a friend of ours just died. She's 43, just died. And I was at the wake and whatnot and the funeral and running into people that, you know, I've known for 20, 30 years. And, of course, we're all connected. That's why I love Facebook, because we're all connected on it. And so many people saying to me that, you know what, if I'm having a lousy day, I love to go to your page. Because you always share such a positive message. You know, you reshare things. But there's too much negative stuff out there. You know, you can find negative anywhere. People, I think, are sick of negative. They need positive reinforcement. You need to remember that today's a brand new day. And whatever horror story happened yesterday, is it going to take you some time to recover from it? Absolutely. But can you? You have two choices. You're either going to say, okay, that's it, forget it, I blew it, you know, and throw your hands in the air. Or you are going to say, okay, here's what happened. I've learned from all of this. I mean, it's the same thing with Safety First. We are working on a whole rebranding. I just met with a grant writer because of the safety issues, there are all kinds of safety grants and security things that are out there that weren't out there when I began this company. And so we're looking at the whole way of rebranding, retooling, redoing, because we have to move forward with where things are. And it's being open. I mean, anything can happen. And again, you can put your head in the sand and whine and cry. I could have said, well, forget it, I'm never going to go on Twitter again.
Mm-hmm.
No. I was like, okay, here's what happened. I'll make sure that I use my auto scheduler and stuff like that so not too many things can go out and whatnot. And just be, you know, you just have to learn. You can turn your horror story into a learning experience, or you can wallow in the horror story and then just, you know, become your own worst horror story because you gave up.
That's exactly right. And, you know, you have choices. You can, you know, hopefully, again, I can catch some people before they do some of the things or start down the path towards their own horror story. So you can prevent horror stories from happening. And should they happen, and unfortunately sometimes they do, whether it's through something you've done or like poor Dory, just because sometimes bad things just happen to good people. You can recover
from
that.
I'm just too social.
You're just too darn social on your social side. You can recover from them, but you have to be very smart about it. You have to, you really got to go back and take a look at what you're doing in your business. Take a look at what you're doing, on your social media sites. Take a look at the person who's helping you with your social media. This is something I get quite often, I'll be very honest with you and tell you it's very frustrating to me that people hire us to do their social media strategies, and then I get lots of emails from some of them, not lots of them, but there's a few people that I consistently get in, and they will send me emails saying, well, my niece says we should really be doing it this way. My nephew says that, you know, we need to be, and of course then I have to email back and justify why we're doing what we're doing to, you know, in some cases a 15 or 16-year-old, not all. I mean, sometimes it's a 30 or 40-year-old, well-meaning. But, you know, if you asking questions is a wonderful thing. researching the person who's doing your social media to make sure they can do what they, you know, if they can't do it for themselves, they can't do it for you. I'm going to tell you that right now. So you need to be looking at their accounts, look at their Twitter, look at their Facebook, look at their Google+. How many followers do they have? How engaging are they? A client came to me earlier in the year, and she said, oh, I've gotten a great interview opportunity with this lady. And, you know, she's in front of my target audience, and she's got a radio show. And, oh, my gosh, I'm so excited. And it's only going to cost me $1,000 to be on her show. And I went, oh, whoa. Wow. You know, I said, wow, that's really interesting. I didn't panic on her. I said, wow, that's really interesting. I was very calm about it. I said, you know, she's in front of your target audience. Yes, she says, like tens of thousands of my target audience listen to her show every single week. And I'm getting ready to secure the spot. Thank goodness she hadn't done it yet. I'm getting ready to secure the spot. I said, well, tell me who this woman is. So she gave me her name, and I looked her up. And sure enough, she didn't have a Facebook page or a Google+ account at all. She had one Twitter account with like 110 people following her. You know, her website looked okay. I mean, there was nothing, you know, it certainly didn't look like it was a huge site. The woman wasn't having any conversations at all on her Twitter account. She was just posting out when the radio show was going to be every week. So thank goodness I stopped my client because I told her, I said, you know, you need to find out how many active listeners she's got every single week, how many live listeners, how many archives are, you know, listeners. Just because she says she's in front of tens of thousands of your target audience doesn't mean they're listening to her. It just means she's on a social platform where she could potentially get in front of them. And unfortunately, sure enough, that was the case, that when she actually started asking the specific hard questions, how many live listeners, how many archive listeners, how many people do your show every single week? You know, it turned into a very different story, and thank goodness I saved this woman $1,000 because she was going to pay it. She was very excited.
Wow.
The woman had a great landing page. Research the people that you're going to use. I hear this very often, and I'm very sympathetic with it from social media and other marketing people too, PR people, internet marketers. Well, I'm so busy doing it for my own clients, I just don't have time to do it for myself. I am really sympathetic. I'm empathetic with that because it is very tough, and it's very tempting some days. On a really tough day, it's very tempting for me to monitor my clients and let my own slide. However, my accounts are my online resume. And when you look at my accounts, you should see a nice steady growth in followers, friends and connections, followers and connections at the very least, circles. You should see me having conversations with some people. You should see me retweeting. You should see me sharing information about others. A social media person who promises you they can get you thousands and thousands of followers and they only have 10 for themselves, they haven't tweeted in 3 weeks and they haven't made a post on their Facebook page in a month, there's a problem. A problem there. So pay attention. If they can't do it for themselves, they can't do it for you. Just some things to keep in mind there, and these will prevent the horror stories. And, Dory, I'm going to check in with you to see about how much longer we have.
We have probably about 7 or 8 minutes left. So you can share another couple of fun stories, and don't forget to share. It's bizmsolutions.com to be able to go and read some of these great blog posts that Janice has been posting, and we'll have one up on wordofmomradio.com as well.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. You know, among other things that has happened in our own little personal horror stories are my watch broke the same week that my cell phone broke. I have no clock. you know, it's a full moon. Yeah, there was a full moon this past week, and it all just happened. I'm not sure, you know. So that's why I had to ask Dory, how long do we have? Because I really don't know how I've been talking here. I got some statistics this past week. I heard from Jay Bear. 42% of consumers expect a response on social media accounts within 60 minutes now. Times are changing.
Within 60 minutes?
60 minutes. 42% of consumers expect when they post to a business page, they're going to get a response within 60 minutes. I don't know about you, but I'm a small business owner. I don't have the resources to devote to a team of people who can give me 24/7 access, immediately responding when someone posts, says something to me on Twitter or says something to me on Facebook. But the expectations are going in that direction. And I don't say this to scare you, but I say this because the majority of brands are not responding to clients when they post something in their accounts. Many clients that we take over their accounts. The first thing we do is we go in, clean out the accounts. We look in their direct messages. We look at their mentions. The majority of them we find at least one post from someone saying, how can I buy from you? How much is your product? Do you offer this in pink? You know, something to the effect of, I'd like to buy from you. And nobody has ever responded to them. We create these social accounts, and I see it. Clients create these social accounts. They set them up. They start posting. Nothing happens today. Nothing happens this week. Maybe nothing this happens this month. And so they just kind of wander off to what they perceive as more productive activities. Meanwhile, allowing clients to be completely ignored online, what would happen? I'll leave you with this thought. What would happen if you walked up to someone and you said, gosh, I love what you're doing. I love the books you're writing. I love that speech you just gave. Gosh, you're just an amazing human being, and I think you're wonderful, and I'd love to buy a product from you. And they looked at you and then turned around and walked off. How would you feel about them?
Right.
Yeah. Would you still want to buy from them? Would you still? You may not be able to respond in 60 minutes, but you should respond. You should respond. I won't be changing the quantity, the amount of time I respond, although I'm getting hopefully a little caught up here, and my responses are going to come faster. But, you've got to respond. You've got to pay attention to what's saying. And listening is part of communication. And it's not enough to just broadcast. It's not enough to just use Hootsuite to schedule your tweets and posts. You've got to listen to what other people are saying. And even if they aren't talking to you, pay attention to what they're saying and say something back. Congratulate them.
Right.
Wish them a happy birthday. Tell them what a great job they did. Give them a little pat on the back. Give them a little motivation. Participate. Listening is part of that. You've got to participate. You can't just broadcast. Broadcasting is not all of communication. And if you want to be successful in social media, and if you want to avoid some of these horror stories, you've got to communicate. You've got to listen. You've got to really talk to people. Ask questions. Share information. Be present, be in the moment, be a part of your strategy, and you can avoid a lot of the horror stories that you're going to read about on my blog.
Well, on that note, Janice, as always, it's just such a great, I love the Tuesday Business Spotlight. I love the show, and next Tuesday we'll be here with Sina Block and Managing Mompreneur Mayhem. I do not have my book in front of me, so I do not know what her next topic is. Do you know what you'll be doing in 2 weeks?
Dori, and actually I have several topics lined up, but I wanted to talk to you about that before I make any formal announcements.
Well, then, it's a secret. You'll just have to tune in and find out what Janice is going to share next.
Lots of big things coming. Lots of new things coming, and specifics and how-tos are on the way.
Well, and that's what makes the Social Media Help Not Hype show such a fabulous show. Same thing with Sina and Managing Mompreneur Mayhem. I just love what the two of you bring to this Tuesday Business Spotlight and the thousands and thousands of people that are benefiting from it. I know it's making a difference for their businesses. I know it's making a difference for mine. And take notes along with everybody else, because I'm here to learn, too. And, it's just always so much fun. So, all right, I have to ask, what is Miss Dorothy going as for Halloween this year?
Ariel, you're going to go with the full mermaid look this year, complete with a little red wig. She's so excited she can't stand herself.
Oh, my gosh. I so miss that. And I was, I was one of those moms. I, made my kids' costumes. One year, Danny and Robbie, they were Batman and Robin, and I had gotten a big sweatshirt so they could wear their jackets underneath them.
Mm-hmm.
And with puff paint, did the emblems, did the capes. Those boys played in those sweatshirts for so many years, I eventually had to cut the sleeves off them because they were, like, coming up to their elbows. I had to cut the sides because they were like, 2 and 3 when they did those. And I'm serious. They finally disintegrated, you know. But
that's just phenomenal.
I miss Halloween. I still dress up.
Oh yeah. Well, Dorothy wants me to dress up with her this year, so I will be going. And she chose my costume as the castle lady, so I have kind of a medieval costume going on this year.
Oh well, there you go. Obviously, you're the servant going
Obviously,
with
yeah,
Ariel.
Obviously, I'm sure Ariel's servant. No, that's probably what the little booger was thinking.
Oh my gosh! No, it is just so much fun. It really
it
truly
is.
So,
I
you know, happy Halloween, everybody.
Happy Halloween.
And for those of you who are listening to this in archive, you know, 3 months from now, I hope you had an awesome Halloween. So, everybody, again, go to Janice's site, bizmsolutions.com. You'll get to read all of the blog posts that she has written about Halloween horror stories and social media horror stories. And there will be a post up on wordmomradio.com as well. So until next time, Janice, thanks so much, as always, for another
thanks
fabulous
for
conversation.
Me.
And for those of you tuning in, thanks so much for being here. We look forward to having you tune in for our next show. And until then, go out and create a marvelous you. Bye for now.
Bye.